This morning, our devotional reading comes from Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
We're beginning a new book this quarter. And a new study. My study is going to be on Jonah. And you heard Jimmy's reading this morning. God had called Jonah to do something for his cause. And we see by that that God truly calls people into his ministry to do his will. And not only does he call them, but he gives specific instructions on what it is that they are supposed to do. And not just preachers, but lay people too, are often asked to do something by God on his behalf. And being human, Jonah did not exactly want to do what God called on him to do. And isn't that kind of typical for all of us? I speak for myself, but the first thing that you want to do when God calls on you to do something is to declare that you can do it. That whatever it is that he wants you to do, it's an impossibility as far as you're concerned, and that you're totally unable to do it. Now, Jimmy read about God telling him to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a large city. It was the ancient capital of the Assyrians, and I'm having trouble with my voice this morning. It was the ancient capital of the Assyrian Empire, located in what is today northern Iraq. Now, it was a large city. The description I had of it said that it had around it about 8 miles of 40 to 50 foot high walls. So this was a pretty large city, well fortified. Now, Jonah lived in a little village about 2 miles from Nazareth. And Nineveh was located about 400 miles or so, I think, from where he was living. But we find that when God called upon him to go to Nineveh, as was read this morning, he jumped up and he headed in the opposite direction. Now, Nineveh lay to the east. And he got up and he said, I'm going west. And it said here, to get out of God's presence, to get away from God. Now, I don't know what Jonah was thinking. He panicked, I guess, in this point in time. I don't know what he was thinking. But we all know you cannot get out of God's presence. It doesn't make any difference where you go or what you do. In the deepest, darkest part of the night, God knows where you are. I mean, that's just a fact of the matter, that God knows about you. And we can find that in the, well, I'll just go over here and read something here. In the 28th chapter of Job, in the 24th verse, I think. And he's talking about God. In the 23rd verse, he says, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven. It's talking about God and what he knows. And in Proverbs 15th chapter of Proverbs, in the 3rd verse, it says, the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, when it says in the 3rd verse of our lesson today, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There was no fleeing from the presence of the Lord. I mean, that was an impossible task that he was trying to accomplish. Now, instead of going west, I think it's about, I said 400 miles, it's a little over 500 miles. Instead of going east toward Nineveh, it says that Jonah was going to go to Tarshish. Now, there was a couple of Tarshishes, cities named Tarshish. But the one I think that Jonah was going to was located in the southwest corner of Spain, which was about 2,600 miles away that way. So instead of going 500 miles this way, he was going to go 2,600 miles this way. So he went down to Joppa and got on a ship and headed towards Tarshish, about 2,500 miles away. So a large storm came up on this ship. Now, the thing that I noted right off the bat is that Jonah knew where this storm was coming from. I mean, he did. There was no question in his mind that he was the cause of this storm. But you have to figure that this storm was so fierce that the sailors who had been out on the sea probably most of their lives were worried that the storm was raging so bad. And in our reading lesson it says, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Okay, we find some little light here. Now, Jonah is running from the Lord, but look what he's already done. Now, he's already witnessed to these sailors that he was fleeing from God. Now, you have to put that little check mark in the good column for Jonah. You know, because he told them, I'm fleeing from God, and I want out of here. And then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. In other words, it was rolling. It was in terrible shape. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now, you know, we can't all the time discern the will of God. We can't all the time read the mind of God. But I'll guarantee you that we can get a feeling of what His intent is. And we can also look up and say, this is because of God that this is happening to me. I mean, I believe we as God's children can feel things that maybe other people cannot feel. And when God is dealing with us, I think we know that God is the one that's dealing with us. It's not some outside influence. It's not your neighbor. It's not your friend. It's not your loved one. It's not somebody in your family. We know that God is the one that's dealing with us because we have that relationship. We have that connection. And we can feel God dealing with us. And Jonah knew that God was the one that was dealing with him. And he knew he was trying to flee from something he couldn't flee from. And he knew when the sea started rolling that this was God's work, and it was because of him that this was happening. And these men were afraid. But I give Jonah credit. He did witness to them about God. And so, consequently, they said, well, what are we going to do with you? What do you suggest we do with you? It's your God that's doing this. What do you suggest we do with you? And he said, well, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm to you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now, he told them just to pick him up and throw him into the sea. Now, the thought that comes to my mind is, why didn't he just leap into the sea? I still wonder about that. I mean, if he was so sure that this was what was going to be done, maybe Jonah was just human. And maybe that task was a little beyond what he thought he could do. But if these men jumped him and threw him into the sea, there wouldn't be no turning back from him. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. Now, the ships back in those days, they had a combination of sails and rowers. And in the calm of the sea, the Mediterranean is a different type of sea, so say from the Atlantic or even the Pacific. It has a lot of calm spells that come on. Brenda and I, we were over there and we're sailing on it. Sometimes that body of water is just like this floor. I mean, it's just smooth as can be. There's no waves that you can see at all. And when the wind ceases blowing, the rowers have to row. I mean, you're either that or you're dead in the water until the winds come back up again. So they had a combination of sails and rowers. And they probably had to drop some sails because the wind was blowing so hard it was going to tear the boat apart. So they figured that they would start rowing and see if they could row back to shore. Now, in those days, they didn't exactly get away from land. They didn't have compasses and chronometers like we have today. They liked to stay pretty well inside of land. So they were heading toward land. And this kind of reminded me of, I was out fishing with one of my friends one day, and he had this little bitty Sears and Roebuck motor on the back of his boat. And it came up a big storm out on Persepolis Lake, and he had this thing wide open. And we thought we was going some places. And I kept looking at this tree on the shore, and it kept sitting right in the same spot. And I told Cecil, we're not going anywhere. This thing is not doing anything. And it was wide open, and we were just sitting there. And the rays were washing over the boat, you know. And finally we had to give in and just let the wind, he had to let off, let the wind take over and get us out of there. But that's what I figured happened to these. They started rowing, and they weren't getting nowhere. They weren't getting any closer. So they tried what they could do to get to safety. And God wouldn't have it. That wasn't his plan. He wasn't having them get to safety. There was something else he was going to accomplish, and he was going to accomplish it to his will. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Now, you see, I don't know what the hearts of these men were, but it sounds like that they were pagans, and all of a sudden in all this turmoil they had been converted because they called upon God's name. Now, I don't know whether that was because of the witnesses that Jonah did, or it was just the circumstance where their ship was about to go down, but all of a sudden they were calling on God. And I thought, as I was reading this, you know, that's true. We may never think of God for days at a time, but when something comes upon us that's bad, all of a sudden he's the first one that we approach. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just human nature. We forget about him for days at a time until something happens, and all of a sudden his name is the first name on our lip, pleading for him to come and help us. And that's what these people were doing. They all of a sudden decided that God was the person that they needed to have by their side. And so they called upon him and they pleaded with him and they asked him to take care of the situation. And so then they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Isn't it amazing what God can do? I mean, he can control. You know, this doesn't mean that this sea was raging in 1,000 square miles. This could have meant that this sea was raging right around this little boat. You just never know what God's will is. But whatever his will was, around this boat, the sea was raging. And when they threw Jonah overboard, it stopped. It stopped. And I think it stopped just like the lesson I taught where Jesus asked the sea to calm, to be still. And spread out his hands and said, "Be still." And I believe that sea stopped immediately and went to a sheet of glass. But they threw him overboard. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I believe I would too. I believe I would have vowed to serve that God for the rest of my days. Because here we were, fearing for our life. We call upon this God, and all of a sudden, everything is calm. And there's nothing to fear. And it said that they made sacrifice, and they made vows. Now, let's don't get too much into the sacrifice part. You got to remember, these people were probably pagans, and a sacrifice was all they really knew to do. So let's just not condemn them. But I believe God did something to these guys, that he looked down upon these men. He protected them and kept them safe. And I believe they had a change of heart. I believe they had a change of attitude about who the true God was. Now it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." Now I don't know if he created this fish for this special purpose. I really don't know. Now, we find in the 12th chapter of Matthew, we find where Jesus is speaking of this incident. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, let me bring this up. Jesus spoke of this matter. Now, if this didn't really happen, why would Jesus talk about it? That's just a thought. Because as I was studying this, there's a lot of people think that this is an allegory or something that's just a tale for the benefit of the hearers. But Jesus spoke of it, and he didn't speak of it as a parable or a tale. He said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, he called it a whale. And I said, well, was it a whale? And I got to studying this a little bit, and it looks like the translation is still a great fish. Not necessarily a whale, but as the translations came through, the Hebrew and the Greek, it wound up that it was translated what Jesus was talking, and it's translated into oil. Now, I don't know what it was, don't have any idea. The only thing I know is there was something big, and it swallowed Jonah. I mean, that's all I know. Don't know what it was. It may have been a whale, it may have been a shark, who knows what it was. I don't, but I do know one thing, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there was something out there that swallowed him. And it really doesn't make any difference what it was. That has no bearing on this whatsoever. It doesn't matter. It said that God prepared a great fish, and that fish swallowed Jonah. So it doesn't make any difference what it was. Let me also add this. Nobody have I ever heard questions whether Jonah was in that belly's whale, or whale's belly, for 3 days or 3 nights. Nobody I know has ever questioned that. Jesus said that he was going to be in the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, and people questioned. And I don't at all. He said, just like Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights, so I'm going to be in the earth 3 days and 3 nights. So you see, I don't believe that Jesus was in the earth part of a day and part of a night, and it all adds up to 3 days. I think he was in there 3 days and 3 nights, but that's a whole nother lesson. We ain't even getting on that at this point in time. But he said that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, the part I was studying about said it was impossible for somebody to live 3 days and 3 nights in a belly of a whatever, a whale or a big fish or something like that. There is nothing impossible for God. There is not one thing impossible. You know, if he can calm the sea, he can have Jonah live in this belly for 3 days and 3 nights. I don't know why you think that he can cause the sea to roll, but he can't help a guy live through 3 days and 3 nights in some belly. I don't understand that. I mean, if he can do these other things, he certainly could watch over Jonah, because he still had a job for him to do. God hadn't forgot. And listen, God will not forget. If he's called on you to do something, he's not going to forget it. And if you tell him you don't want to do it, he's not going to walk away and say, oh, okay. He don't want to do it. We'll move on to somebody else. Now, he may move on to somebody else because you won't do it. But listen, he ain't going to forget that you're the one that didn't do it to begin with. And who knows what you could have done had you gone ahead and done it for God. When he said to, who knows what good could have come of that? And not only that, look at the blessing that you're going to miss out on. Look at what you're going to miss if somebody else has to do your role, to take your part, to take up your share of what you should be doing. We're in this together. All of us are together. We each have a part to play. And if we don't play our part, something goes missing. There may be something that happens. There's somebody that might miss something. There's somebody that might miss out on something. There's somebody that might could miss being saved. You don't know. When God puts it upon you to do something, it behooves us to do it. Now, this is kind of like the Joseph series that we studied before. I can't go too far because Terry's going to take it up next week. And y'all just have to come back and hear the rest of this series as it continues on as to what happens next week. Let me glance over here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't go too much further. But we must understand that there's a purpose for us in this life. Now, Jonah's purpose was to go preach to these pagans that were in Nineveh. That's what God wanted him to do. He certainly would have saved himself a lot of heartache and a lot of trials and tribulations had he just gone ahead and done it. But being human, we all have this thing inside of us for some reason that tells us that we don't have to do this. Now, what could that be? What could that possibly be that we have around us that just kind of works on us all the time and just kind of directs us in areas that we don't need to be? Now, who could that be? Well, I think it was Satan. I think the devil was dealing with Jonah just like he deals with us today. What's the first thing you think of when God says, well, okay, I've told you all this before, but when you stand up here, you just kind of have to bare yourself and just put all your faults out there. One night, I was sitting, not here, this was at Harmony, and God said, go talk to Shelley, my daughter. And I said, I don't know if I can do that. I don't really have anything that, I don't feel like, I just really don't want to do that. Well, he got working on me pretty hard. And I said, I don't know what to say. What do I tell her? I don't know. He said, go. Well, we wrestled. I chewed on that for a while. And I got up, and on the way back there, I said, you're going to have to do something because I don't have a thing that I know to tell her. And I got back to her, and I put my arm on her shoulder or something. I never had to say a word. Not one word. She headed for the altar as fast as she could go. And I thought, I see. I didn't have nothing to say because you didn't want me to say nothing. You see, when we overcome Satan, and oh, we're going to wrestle with him for a while. When you overcome Satan, good things can happen. Great things can happen if we will just raise ourselves up and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm working for God now. And this is what I'm going to do. And we go do it. How much better this world would be if we'd all just have that much strength about us. But lo and behold, we have this evil that we have to overcome. But it's not something we can't overcome. It's not something that is bigger than we are because we've got God on our side. And as far as I know, he's still got a hedge around me. Because I was saved when I was 7 years old, and I know I'm still that way. And I know that God is there with me if I will just approach him and keep him there close at hand. That's my lesson. Anyone have anything to say?
Back in the 70s. took him by the hand, he said, "Where are you about to break that altar that won't advance this?" That's human nature. That's the image we have. That's man has against God.
Exactly.
He's present. He's prevalent.
It is. And it's a constant battle. We have
it
to.
It sure is. It's a battle.
Anyone else? Brother Billy, would you dismiss us, please?